Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Dusty White of Coramdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the integrated person. And that comes from an article that we've been reading.
Yeah.
From the latest Christianity Today. An article is called The Integrated Pastor, and we realize that not all the listeners to this podcast are pastors, and so we're going to reference this article, but generally speak to just the normal, everyday person, and as that relates to pastors and non-pastors. And I want to read this paragraph from page 12 of Christianity Today. We see signs of disintegrated Christians all around us. Why is it that good Christians don't always make very good human beings? They're faithful to their families, they're consistent in church attendance, they cut their grass and pay their taxes, and they read their Bibles and pray for the nations. Yet they can also be rigid, self-righteous, xenophobic, racist, sexist, controlling, narrow-minded, emotionally repressed, sexually dysfunctional, bitter, impulsive, and angry. We need an approach to spiritual formation that fosters integration, that brings together doctrinal instruction and moral development on one hand, with psychological healing on the other. An approach that brings about not only holiness, but wholeness.
This article grabbed our attention partly because we're Dallas Willard fans, and you could argue that this article is definitely Dallas Willard influenced, and Dallas has a lot of just emphasis on the embodied person, the whole formation of the soul and stuff like that. And we've talked a lot about how, like, you're not a brain on a stick. You're not just a body. So you need to take care of your body. You're not just a Christian in a theological bubble. So you can't just think theologically and then not interact in the real culture, and the reality of the world and neighborhood that you live, work, and play in. So basically what he's arguing for, whether you agree or disagree, is just that we're embodied, incarnate creatures, and that's God's design, and therefore that has some implications. And so, Mike, that stuff you read, I feel like as you're reading it, I'm like, yeah, I could put a couple tick marks by a few of those things.
Yep.
And you know, that's discouraging to me, for my own soul. But what we're after here and what he's driving at is, not just a Christian type of holiness who pays their bills and cuts their grass and looks good on the outside, but
yeah,
a wholeness, right?
Yeah.
And I think you could talk about this just also in light of mission, right? Like, your church, Chris, our church, we're trying to reach people where they're actually at, and they have some skepticism in the post-Christian realities of, I'm not into those kinds of people, so convince me that your Jesus is worth it.
And we, when I was reading that list, I was thinking of all the things in the news lately about pastors whose ministries are falling apart. They're falling apart as human beings. They're either in deep moral sin or they're just unhealthy, you know, and so I think it's really easy to just say, I don't want to be a part of that. If that's what Christianity is, I don't want to be a part of that.
He lays out three main steps. Here they are, take them or leave them. And Chris, what are your thoughts here? He says there's three steps mainly. I'm sure he thinks more. By the way, this is an article that's taken from, it looks like a book that I have not read, that we have not read, called Tending Soul, Mind and Body, edited by Gerald Heistand and Todd Wilson. Todd Wilson's the author of this particular article. That looks like it's a new book in 2019. But here's his three steps. Take the body more seriously. Step two, take the brain more seriously. And step three, take interpersonal communion more seriously. So, Chris, what are your thoughts? You agree with those steps? How are you doing any of those things? What are your thoughts?
We talked on this podcast multiple times about the reality that we are embodied beings. So what this means is that when it comes to our spirituality and our spiritual formation, we can't ignore our bodies. And this is the category that he is raising. We don't just think and become better Christians. We don't as he puts it, tend to the inner man through spiritual exercises, but we actually need to think what it means to live out our faith as embodied beings. So here's one of the things that I think we can immediately jump to. And I think it's a good category, but we have to expand what we mean by embodied. What you put in your body. You know, are you eating well? Are you avoiding drugs, alcohol? Are you getting enough sleep? These are all important categories. You know, I think sometimes we, you know, you can minimize to some degree the importance of these things. You hear a lot of pastors railing on addiction to drugs and alcohol and pornography, but you don't hear a lot of guys talking about gluttony. That's a whole other podcast. But what I want to say is, and this is where I think the article actually cuts off too soon, is what does embodied worship and embodied spirituality look like in practice beyond taking care of your physical health?
How would you answer that question?
And this is where I think the categories that Jamie Smith has given us has been super helpful. What does it mean to have a rhythm and a liturgy to life? What kind of practices do you inhabit throughout your day that are forming you? That your actual rhythm and your routine, what you do with your body throughout your day, is forming you. Where your body takes you each day, the habits that you from getting out of bed at a certain time to going to bed at a certain time, to the way you posture yourself when you do your work, to the way you posture yourself when you worship God on Sunday, like all of these things matter. And so for us to think more deeply about the formation that takes place just through body habit, what sort of habits am I doing on a daily basis that are actually developing me in more Christ-like maturity, and what are ones that are actually robbing me of maturity? So that's where, I mean, I don't want to necessarily drill down into like two specifics, because some of this is, you know, depending on who you are and where you are.
Yeah.
But those questions I think need to be asked.
One example of this that I saw, and I thought it was funny, was there's these artists and spiritual leaders that work at this retreat center in Texas. I can't remember where it is. It's called the Laity Lodge. And they produced this video telling the story about how these two guys decided to go on a walk every day on the same route. And they knew they were going to pass each other at the same spot every time. And they gave each other a high five.
Wow. And so, I'm doing it, Chris. So, let's do it.
So Dusty's going to walk from, you know, center of Omaha, and Chris is going to walk from Bellevue, and they're going to high five somewhere in the middle. But it was just this, it was this practice of, we're not going to drive past each other. We're going to take the time to walk, and we're going to make a physical connection. Just high five, boom. And it was just the practice and the repetition of that. And you know, the practice of repetition of that is going to create something deeper in the soul, something that you probably just couldn't read and figure out. But you had to do it. You had to practice it. You had to embody that idea that I'm not going to be fast paced. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to take time to give my friend a high five and look him in the eye and say, "Hey, what's up? Good morning." And obviously, their relationship went beyond that. But it was just that image, that practice of the simple taking a walk and giving each other a high five.
It's interesting, Chris, to think about your question of spiritually, what does it look like to be embodied creatures and to worship with our bodies? Because as you were asking that, I was thinking about how in my workflow back in like, man, this is a long time ago, when I was in California, actually went to the standing desk, and then through that realized, through going to the standing desk when we were in California, this is like 2006, I guess, 2004 or five, somewhere in there, realized that like I worked better and produced more. And I also started to realize that I produced more in the afternoons. Like I got my best work done in the afternoons. So I'm only giving that example to say like, we do that in our work. We do that. Like I started doing that a long time ago in my workflow, right? So like mornings are like, you know, thinking, praying, reading, absorbing basically. And afternoons are more like output, production. So, but I haven't, until you asked that, thought about what I'm doing as an embodied creature.
How that's affecting your soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we could all agree that, especially in 2019 in the evangelical world, we're not sure what it looks like to be embodied creatures that aren't like, again, like way over here being crazy with our bodies and then being too rigid with our bodies over on this side, right? So like, what's it look like to do that in corporate worship? What's it look like to do that in prayer? Should I be like kneeling helps sometimes, right? Mm. So like thinking about that is a challenging thing.
Yeah, when you were saying embodying it in your worship, are you talking about like the gathered worship? Or are you talking more in general life worship? Like when you say that, yeah, what are you talking about?
I was specifically referencing corporate worship.
Yeah.
Like, so for example, something that I've started doing over the past maybe 6 months or so is during the benediction, I'm just opening my hands, like I'm receiving, like receive this benediction. And so a posture of receiving, or during corporate prayer, or just what is it? How can I posture my body to reflect what's sort of happening in the worship service? Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, Protestants can rail on Catholic theology, and there's, we've talked about in this podcast the points where we disagree strongly, but Catholic theology gets embodied worship, and there's a lot we can learn from that. But here's the other side of it too. Evangelical Christianity thinks so much of spiritual formation is takes place in your quiet time, right? So it's the meditation, the prayer, that's the attending to the internal world. Important.
Yeah.
However, we don't have a good category for what embodied formation looks like in just regular life. So, for example, could the dinner routine in your home be a place of embodied formation? Yeah.
Why dinner? Why bring that up?
Well, so dinner is one of those, I think there's multiple levels there. And one of the other categories that we'll get to here also touches on this, but there is a natural rhythm and routine to it that involves, you know, your family, involves interacting with other people. But eating is such a embodied, normal aspect of what it means to be human.
Which is why we're doing it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, and then there's also a communal aspect to it too. I mean, you're eating as a family, and we know that the impact that has on, attachment and how families are knit together and the closeness and the health of a family. So, but the point being is that there is a physical rhythm and routine there that you have to make the food together. You set the table, you clear the table, you actually eat, and there's conversation taking place. That's all embodied. And if we see those kinds of normal rhythms and routines throughout our day as places of formation, not just things we do, but actually formation, then I think we're starting to touch what it means to actually have more of an embodied faith. Again, I don't want to minimize the, you know, the things like watching what you eat and exercise and rest and tending to your body in those ways. But I think we're too quick to dismiss our daily activity, the things we're doing as embodied beings, are actually places of formation.
Yeah. So another, I mean, in staying in the vein of food, like it's Lent. So we're, you know, some of us are fasting food. Mm-hmm. Like we can talk till our faces are blue about how much Jesus is our sustenance and he's all that we need. And like, he's the bread of life. But until you give up a meal that you love, like breakfast.
Like barbecue?
Or barbecue. I'm giving a barbecue for Lent. You know, like, and you feel that physical need in your gut, and you're just like, I'm so freaking hungry right now. Like, that's embodying that need and that thirst for God.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment of hunger, you go to him in prayer, and you're embodying that spiritual reality that you can talk about all the time, but unless you feel it, you don't really know what that spiritual hunger feels like. And so that's just it's a real human way of practicing crying out in need for God.
So in addition to taking the body more seriously, he also says we should take the brain more seriously.
And these are pretty closely connected, because the point that he makes is that there are neurological realities to our brains, the way that it can affect particular sins, the way that trauma can affect our brain, which impacts the way that we relate to people. So there is a common thread between taking our body seriously and taking our mind seriously. And this has been a live issue for me and Mindy as we've walked through some of the mental health things that she's wrestled with. And one of the things that we found is early on when she was struggling with OCD is she went to some of the best, like one of the best biblical counselors money could buy. The most experienced female counselor at CCEF. And she started meeting with her, but there wasn't a lot of headway being made. Once she started meeting with a professional OCD specialist who put her on more of a cognitive behavioral regimen that sort of addressed the behaviors, it started to open up the counseling, the CCEF counseling, in some really beautiful ways. And so it was the combo of things. Mm-hmm. One was addressing sort of the physical neurological realities of Mindy's brain. The other was dealing with the underlying spiritual issues. Mm-hmm. So that 1-2 punch really is when we saw significant growth take place. And so what he's trying to get at here is recognizing that because we're physical beings, some of the sin and emotional issues that we struggle with are neurological, are do require certain types of counseling or therapy or practice that involves brain rewiring. And this again goes back to inhabited practice. I mean, Mindy worked through those things through inhabited bodily practice. And so, again, he doesn't really go into a lot of detail of what exactly he means. He just sort of raises the category. And so for us, I think we can just say, both as pastors and just as Christians, to encourage people, hey, there's going to be times where there are neurological realities to your struggles, and you should mind those. You should take those seriously and address them with help from professionals who understand some of those dynamics. Don't neglect the spiritual.
Right.
They're interconnected and they must both be addressed.
Yeah.
But be mindful of the ways that, you know, the neurology of our brain, I mean, it's a fascinating, beautiful field.
Yeah.
And God has wired our brains in some profound ways. And so take that category seriously.
Then third, he tees up this idea that we're to take interpersonal communion more seriously. Here he's talking a lot about just the reality of being known. If we're going to be well-rounded, holistic creatures, we have to be known.
Yeah, one of the thing that made me laugh when I read this article, he's talking about Alcoholics Anonymous and he's asking the question, why is it the most successful behavior change program that's ever existed? And he said, because they start each meeting the same way. Hi, I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic. And everybody says, Hi, Mike. Yeah. And so he says, it's a place where many people often for the first time are known by other people for who they really are. So it'd be like if I started this podcast by saying, hey, listeners, my name's Mike. I struggle with approval. I want your approval, and I want my pastor's approval, and I want my dad's approval. Like, so starting each meeting like that, everybody knows right out of the gate who you are. You're not hiding. You're not pretending. You're being known. And I think that's a super uncomfortable place to be, especially for pastors. Mm-hmm. But I just think in general for humans, we all want to put our best face forward because we're trying to get the job, we're trying to get the love, we're trying to get the acceptance.
And this is just true of everybody, right? Like every single person, whether they give you the front or not that they don't want to be known, everybody wants to be known. And everybody wants this type of interpersonal communion with somebody else. And everybody values it, whether... It depends. It varies on how resistant we are to that. But this is why your church, Chris, our church, takes communion seriously. We take communion with Christ on Sunday seriously. We take communion and fellowship together on Sunday seriously. We take gospel community seriously. We need to have the church gathering together and meeting together. And even recently at Cormdale, we've tried. I mean, we don't we don't nail this 100%, but we're really trying, especially when new people are at our church, to figure out who they are, not how many people were there. Does that make sense? Like what I'm saying there is like, I want names. I want faces.
Yeah.
Because without names and faces and stories, I'm not pastorally really doing my job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the ways I was challenged at the beginning of the year by Bob and Justin was, hey, you need to be a little bit more aware of your emotions because you tend to stuff them. So be more aware. And that I've just never done that before. I've never done that hard work of knowing myself that deep. And so Psalm 139, where David prays, Lord, know my anxious thoughts. Like, know me so deep that you know the deepest, darkest things. And reluctantly, I'm praying for you to show them to me. And that's just been a powerful devotional moment over these last 4 months, is just God gently revealing those things to me. And he's revealing them to me because he knows me. And that's... Mm-hmm. It's terrifying, but it's also comforting because the God of the universe is knows me and takes care of me. And I've just been able to invite other people into knowing me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tense place, but it's safe because those people care for me. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's gospel community. It's people who see me every week and they can follow up with me and check in on me. And yeah.
So he tries to make a connection with the interpersonal and the brain, where he says something miraculous happens when two minds meet empathetically. New neural networks are created, new synapses fire, and wire your brain changes. So there's an effect neurologically when we make good interpersonal connections. Mm. So it seems that this article, kind of the common thread of this article, is really an embodied holistic spirituality that culminates in communing with other people. Hmm. Like if you think about what it means to really embody the Christian faith, it has to be done in community.
Mm-hmm.
Like the living out our lives day to day, both in corporate worship and throughout our week, the only way we are going to fully embody is if we're living in community, all of those practices, having meals together, worshiping together, laughing together, serving together, you know, sharing the gospel, talking about scripture, praying together, you name it,
suffering
whatever.
Together.
Yeah, suffering together, whatever. The only way we fully embody, we fully experience healthy neural networks being changed and transformed and healed is, yes, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the word, but through God's community.
Hmm.
So if you really want to kind of bring it back to the beginning, well, what does it look like to live out embodied Christianity? Get involved in community.
Hmm.
Be deeply known and live your life out amongst others. And I think you'll probably start to, this is what it means to be embodied, and you'll start figuring that out as you go.
Hmm. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we talked about today might be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We love to hear from you, the listeners, so send us an email, podcast@cdomaha.com, and tell your friends about the podcast. We'd love to have them join the conversation. And we thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next Wednesday for another Wednesday conversation.